I want to mention to anyone that ever prays with us online for salvation or anyone here, excuse me again, please make access to the discipleship teachings that we have on the face page of our website. They're so good in just giving the basics. There's, what do we do, 10? 10. And they're not long videos. They're like 30 minutes at the most. I think maybe there was one a little, but most, a lot of them are 20 to 30 minutes. There's a PDF, which is an outline of, and then, of course, there's an audio. So you can listen to them riding down the road. But all the basics, it's really, really, really good because it's not exhaustive. It's not line-on-line teaching, but it's a discovery of what just happened to me? Oh, how do I grow? Well, the Word. Well, where do I start in the Word? Listen, if anybody ever, so nowadays everybody has a smartphone usually. You can purchase or free, sometimes free downloads of King James Version or New King James Version. Amplified's good. Actually, I'm going to be reading mostly from the Amplified. And it's accurate, but it's just kind of more, it gives more an exhaustive expression to the Greek. But those discipleship teachings, they are so wonderful in the sense of the word. They just get people started. They really, and here's the thing. We have to put, I know this congregation is well taught. Not just, I'm not just saying that. I'm not trying to elevate myself or any of the people that ever stand in this pulpit, but well taught in the depth. We're training revivalists. So you're like, you know, to brag on you, you're like 10 stories higher than a lot of congregations that just come in on a weekly basis. There's, you know, the services. Do you know a lot of services, and especially the mega churches, are only about an hour and 15 minutes long, hour and 20 at the most. But by the time they come in, have some kind of really sometimes souped up praise service, and then there's like a 20-minute, you know, sermonette. I don't want to be mean. Don't be mean, Brock. This is house of God. Don't be mean. But how do you even say anything? How do you say anything in 20 minutes? And then how do you get people to grow? I will say this. Whoever your favorite teacher is, it may not be me. Okay, you're here and you're there watching. But wherever whoever your favorite teacher is, or you really like this guy, or girl, or lady, it's wonderful. Or to get you all a book that Gary Carpenter's got about ministry of women, proves scripturally the ministry of women, the validation of women being able to stand right here in this pulpit. Hallelujah. I like the word because it repudiates religious thinking. Glory to God. Might do a little. But whoever your favorite is, if they don't systematically teach, now they don't have to do it every service because it's up to the Holy Spirit how He leads. But if they don't systematically teach a doctrine of self-denial and dying to the flesh, They're not teaching the full gospel. Because there's only one way to ever get to the place where we're going. It's not through the gifts. We love the gifts, right? We love 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We love the gifts. But there's a more excellent way. The gifts which we want flowing through us, and this is not necessarily teaching this morning, but the gifts were given to baby Christians. If you follow 1 Corinthians, he starts the letter out by telling them, I'm writing to baby Christians, weak. You're weak, and there's because there's strife and envy and debate. And yet they were a church that was flowing with speaking in tongues and prophecy and miracles, and we believe in all that, and we want to. But you know, Old Testament people, they walked in all the gifts. Moses walked in miracles and prophecy, and he wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost like we have the Holy Ghost, but all the gifts, all the gifts were working in the Old Testament, except that the only one that I would be praying in tongues and interpretation, but prophecy, gifts of healings and miracles, all the gifts. So you don't even have to be. Bottom line is, he worked with unsaved people with gifts. But you can't have a gifts church and have a revival. Because gifts alone are for baby Christians. They can still be high and low. They can ride on the wings of a eagle, and everything can be hunky-dory today, but having an emotional breakdown tomorrow and say, oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. Or mainly the way they treat their brother or sister. Or mainly, this gets even deeper, the way they treat their wife or their husband. That's even more. But a more excellent way is this. To walk in the fullness of all those gifts is to walk in the fullness of His love. And when that which is perfect is come, then that which is immature will be done away with. Not that the gifts will be done away with, but the impartation of, like, Candy got a gift, Homer got a gift, Alex got a gift. Because we all need you to show up, because none of it works. All of it worked. All the gifts worked through Christ. He was like, when he approached you or you approached him. Now, he didn't heal everybody in every village because not everybody came to him. But all that ever came before him, he did. And he was like a fine-dressed waiter or the maitre d' that came to seat you at a fine restaurant and find a table for you and introduce you to a waiter. And the waiter says, ma'am, what will you have? Well, I'll have the filet mignon. Wonderful. Well, I'll have the filet mignon with whatever side dishes. Well, I don't have that because that's not my gift. I'll have to go find somebody else. That's old school. But the reason why that is because there's no mortification message. The mortification message will take you to a place where that which is more perfect does away with that which is not perfect. And that which is not perfect according to that particular context of Scripture was the imperfection was not the gifts. The gifts are perfect. But the imperfection was the immaturity that they could not walk in all the gifts. No one could walk in all the gifts because why? They were, excuse my expression, thumb-sucking babies. They could prophesy, yay, and then they could cuss each other out in the parking lot. Oh, he's so good. Glory to God. I'm pastor. I'm going out in the spirit belt. Somebody better catch me. Hallelujah. And the mascara run and, oh, Jesus. And she gets up and he's staggering around. She's staggering around. They're spiritual. They had a spiritual service. They had a spiritual service. Yes, they did. Oh, my God. And what a spiritual service. And then people look at them and think, boy, they're grown up. They're spiritual giants. Did you see how the Holy Ghost came on them? And yet, the underworkings of all kinds of stuff could be at work. This is where Elaine Homer would talk about when she was this tall and she was raised in a holiness church. And her hair was down to here because they taught her if she ever cut her hair, it's like Samson, if you cut your hair, you lose your soul. And so holiness was something on the outside, not something on the inside. Now, don't get me wrong. If you walk in holiness, you'll watch how far this comes up. You'll bring it down to an acceptable level. And men, you'll watch your eyes. How do I watch my eyes? You watch your eyes. But she was traveling with a man of God that could was working in the gifts. And the gifts would come on him. And he could call you out. And he could read your... And it was a true gift, prophecy. He could read. He could tell you where you lived. If that wasn't enough, he could maybe give you your driver's license number. I mean, God would come on him. People would come up and be healed under the power of God. The glory of God would fill the tent. There would be such a presence. Such a presence. But after it was over, when everybody went home and the people that got healed went home and the blind eyes that got opened went home, Elaine had to try to get to her trailer before he intercepted her. Because he'd try to molest her. Somebody said, I don't understand. I don't understand that. That's how can that happen? Well, it happens every day of the year. It happens all the time. Don't ever equivocate what you look at as a man or woman's ministry like, oh, God, look, they got somebody healed. They must really be walking with God. That just validates their... No. Miracles don't validate your walk with God. Your holiness shows that process by which the Holy Spirit is working a deep inner work inside of your life. How much are you being conformed to the... Well, why would God even do that? Why would he heal people through somebody sick and perverted like that? It's called the gifts. The gifts are unattached. They're really unattached to God's righteousness. In that sense of the word, he'll come on somebody because they're standing there and they're wanting to be used to touch the people. And he'll come on them as a gift. That's all it is. It's a gift for the moment. But then God doesn't walk around with them. He doesn't habitate or cohabitate with them. They can live perverted lives. And then the next time he'll come on them, he'll get somebody healed, and then they'll go right back into looking at porno. And somebody said, well, and that's where men eventually arrive at some kind of real weird destination they think, well, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me figure this out. I was in porno last night. And then I come over here to church. But God used me. And he got some people healed. Well, maybe. Maybe. It really doesn't matter to God. Maybe my outward walk really doesn't matter so much to God. Because if he did that, then he's validating. He's validating. So, it's just then, a cat chasing its tail, then it's like, okay, it doesn't, that doesn't really, that's me, that's separate than my holiness. God, no, no. In fact, that man runs a risk not only destroying others, but burning in the lake of fire. But why would God come on him? Because it's called gifts. Gifts were for babies. Gifts were for babies when they grew up, then they come into a more excellent way. Are you saying the gifts were done away with? No, we're supposed to pray in tongues more, prophesy more. But it's not because he's coming and touching you with a gift. You're walking in a more excellent way. And the fullness of everything that Christ is to you, in you, and through you is flowing. And you're walking not only in the impartation of righteousness, but you're giving back to him what he needs to grow you up. And that's true holiness. You're walking in that. And that's according to conscience. Men have tried their best to perfect themselves through a walk of the flesh, and through a walk of trying to change their life or go forward to God, into God, through external things. And this is the remarkable part of the truth of born again. Once you were born again, Christ came and he didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. Now we don't go after him externally. We go after him internally. How so? Fellowship, worship, baptism of tongues and going forward in those things that are spiritual. That's what grows us up. Not anything externally. Not anything externally. Hallelujah. Peter, one of the 12, you know, walked with Jesus. Who do men say that I am? Well, they said, some said, Elias, one of the great prophets. Peter, he's always the loudest. But this time he spoke well. You're not a prophet alone. You're more than Elias, Elijah. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Peter. And upon this rock, not you, but this rock of revelation of who I am, which I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. His shadow, once he was born again, and his shadow, Acts tells us that as he walked down the street, so full of the Holy Ghost. So full of the Holy Ghost. That if you were just in shadow length, it wasn't the shadow that healed you. It was just the proximity. If you were close enough, there was an aura. I don't know a better word. There was an atmosphere. There was a presence that you just got close enough. Jesus, I want that, don't you? That's not just for fivefold. That's all of you. We're going to share this in this last day. He just walked down the street, and his presence, just like the presence of Christ, would be so, people would be healed, and they brought people in from all the cities, and they got him close enough. They knew what way he was going up to pray. We can't get you an appointment, but just get close enough. And they were all healed. The word says they were all healed. It's great. It's perfect. Wonderful. Yet, there was a man saved on a road to Damascus. His name was Paul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You talk about know this book. There was not the 27 of the new that was written yet, but the 39 of the old. Oh, my Lord God. That man had it memorized from cover to cover. All the writings of Moses, you know, it was the, from what I understand, it was their textbook was the Torah. And the Pentateuch, which is the first five books, which when you get into Leviticus and Numbers, if you want something to help put you to sleep, you don't have to take Relaxium. You start reading Leviticus and Numbers. And yet they were required to memorize that. Required. I mean, I'd just like to see one of them kids or Paul stand up. It'd probably take him 2 or 3 hours of just quoting, 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 quoting. But it's a testimony of really where your mind can. I can't remember that. What was that scripture? You can. You really can. You're just, there's neurons that you haven't developed, and most of us are too lazy. Too lazy. But really, you without being a genius, you really could learn books of the Bible and quote them. But that's another subject. But Paul, incredibly saved, I think 8 years past Peter in Pentecost, something like that. It was about that time. Stephen's martyrdom wasn't right away, but it was a little bit. And then it was right after the martyrdom, there was a great persecution, Paul. But I'm talking, what I'm saying of this about Paul is, Peter and any of the rest of the 11, I'm taking Judas out, they couldn't touch Paul. Not that there was any bragging rights. They couldn't touch Paul in knowledge, previous knowledge of the Word of God. Now, all those guys grew up in the synagogue, but Paul studied in a doctorate fashion. He would be a master's and a doctorate in the law, and he said that. He gave his credentials. He gave his credentials. When he talked about being a Pharisee, of Pharisees, and of the law, how he had studied it. And yet Peter, after all of Pentecost and the shadow, we find that in the book of Galatians chapter 2, now this was many years past Pentecost, and it was years past the great shadowing, and that Peter was walking in a good position with God. But he visited Antioch, and Paul was already down there. He and Barnabas. Barnabas was a great apostle also. And they were already doing a great work down there. And Peter came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. He traveled there, and when he got there, Paul and Barnabas was the church. That's, you know, Antioch's when they first started calling us Christians. That's the church. It was there. the term Christians. And so Peter, a righteous man, full of the Holy Ghost, of course. But there was a caveat that I would say about Paul. I would give him an asterisk when he said this to the Corinthian church. The revelation I have of Christ is not based upon what I've been taught of man, but what I've been taught by the Holy Spirit and by God. And I pray in tongues, he said, more than ye all. That ought to tell us something. The combination, I'm holding this black book up, putting my chin on it. The combination of this word and the tongues that flow out of me operates in an operation of allowing the teacher to come and open up all of this to me. And Paul boasted in a not a braggadocious way, but he said, that's the basis of my revelation knowledge is praying in the Spirit. Well, Peter was a good guy. He really was a wonderful guy. And he, can you imagine walking with the Lord? I mean, just walking with the Lord physically, being a warm yourself with a campfire. Where are we going tomorrow? Well, we're going into Nain. Where's Nain? You'll see when we get there. I can feel the Father telling me there's something I need to do. It's where he raised the boy at the gate. Peter saw all that. He saw all of it. And he was filled with the Spirit as well. But you're talking about how, and this is just an example, how long it takes for what I would call, he says, therefore having yourself, he says, sanctify and cleanse yourself of all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. What's filthiness of spirit? I thought we're clean in our spirit. Oh, yeah, you are. In that righteousness and true holiness lives there. Cleansing yourself of all filthiness of flesh is that's all those uglies that came out the moment that you were born again. Men stopped, you should stop, lusting and looking at porno and doing all those kinds of things. Those things come out, the deal breaker sins, and then you continue to work on love and joy and peace and long suffering and gentleness and meekness and goodness, temperance, all those things you begin continue to work on. But filthiness of the spirit, how can we have filthiness of spirit if we're born again? It's what you believe. My friends down the street, they're born again. But there's a filthiness of spirit, not as in filthiness that will do away with their salvation. But when you believe that somebody's taught you, somebody said, no, they just believe that in their soul. No, it's a depth of teaching that goes in. You're born again spirit. Although it's acclimated, it has all the acclimation to believe truth. But if you sit under error long enough, it'll gravitate all the way down. Your born-again spirit will begin to believe untruths. You'll say, no, tongues are not for today. It's not. No, we can be born again, but we can't speak. All of us can't speak in tongues. Well, Peter, he was raised a good Jewish boy. Synagogue. Oh, Jesus, I'm glad I was there the day that I saw Legion, that you cast out all those devils. You put those devils right where they need to go, into the swine, into the pork. And Jesus, you demonstrated it well. No pork will ever come nigh my dwelling. He's given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways, lest any pig-footed pig should come nigh my dwelling. Dietary laws. Paul and Barnabas was down in Antioch, and they were getting people saved with the Holy Ghost. And the Gentiles were getting saved like crazy. Getting saved. And Peter came down there to see what they were doing. And when he got there, he got right in the mix. He got right in the mix. He started eating with the Gentiles. Started participating with them. He had pork fat on his chin. And he was enjoying the freedom in Christ. Paul said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. He wrote to the Galatians. He said, somebody's come in to try to spoil you. I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid for you is the better interpretation. You observe months and days and feasts as if that perfects you. In Colossians, he said, no dietary thing. Nothing can perfect you once you've been born again except Christ in you. Well, Peter came down, he ate with them for, I don't know, a month or two or however long. And then James sent some people down. Well, James was the headquarters of the church. You know, Jesus' half-brother, James, he stepped in. He thought, during the ministry of Christ, he thought Christ was, at one time, he said, we got to go get him. He's beside himself. He came with Mama Mary, and his other brother, Jude, and they tried to get him because they said, he's beside himself. And they said, your mother and brethren are outside. You need to go see them. They're wanting to talk to you. He said, look, these are my mothers. These are my brothers. Anyone that does the kingdom of God. Well, Peter was down there with them. James came down. And still, that dietary thing was still running in the church because of Jewish tradition and the law. Oh, but they met a man that was full of God and also knew the old better than anybody on the planet. And Peter, he said, he wrote, and he this by his own testimony, said, when Peter came down to Antioch, I withstood him to face. What does that mean? I mean face to face. Can you imagine face to face with one of the original? Just the intimidation would be like, who are you born on the road to Damascus? I walked with him. Paul would say, I don't know if Paul ever saw him. He may have. They were contemporaries. Paul was born just about the same time Jesus was. He was in his early 30s on that road to Damascus experience. But Peter came down and he was enjoying everything with the Gentiles. But then when James sent some people down, the word says he dissimulated, or he left. He withdrew himself from the Gentiles. And he said the hypocrisy, Paul said into Galatians, he's writing to them, he said, it was so bad that even my right-hand man, Barnabas, it got to him too. He was drawn away with it. They separated themselves saying, no, it's still the law, dietary. We have to observe these things. It comes about. Part of our holiness is. And Paul said, wait a minute. You're carried away. He said, when they did this, He said, I withstood him to face. And the amazing part was, he said, I did it before them all. He didn't take him in a private, Peter, you need to, no, it was done publicly. It needed to be addressed publicly. I've had people leave the church. It said, you addressed me publicly when I didn't and never named a name. But how would you like it when somebody stands you up in front of everybody and Paul says to Peter, Peter, if you destroy what we've built, as in freedom, that it's not based on dietary laws. He said, I withstood him because even Barnabas was drawn away with their dissimulation, with their hypocrisy. And he called it hypocrisy. He said, you being a Jew and not a Gentile according to the sinful nature, if we build again that which was already dissolved in Christ, then we make Christ the minister of sin. In other words, we set him up saying the liberty that we walk in, he's the minister over that. And if we call that sin, then Christ is the minister of sin. He said, you're wrong, Peter. You're wrong. You're wrong, Barnabas. You've shown all of these that it's not the blood only. It's not Christ plus something else. If you want to do something for yourself. You don't want to eat a steak or a piece of pork because you want to hold down the cholesterol for yourself. That's fine. But if you want to cook it half bloody and pour a whole bunch of bacon on top of it, it doesn't affect your righteousness, not one iota. That's the very thing that Paul was telling Peter. Why are you saying this? I'll tell you. It's not Christ plus anything. It's you walking into him and allowing him to mortify you inward, out, not outward, in. It's not abstaining from this. He said in Colossians, you've developed, you Colossians, it's for you. You're looking at touch not, taste not. That's how. No, no, no. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. It's nothing you can abstain from that perfects you as in dietary or anything else like that. It's the holiness of Christ being perfected in you. How do I do that? A whole lot of what Paul did, praying in tongues. We don't see where Peter wrote a rebuttal and said, well, Paul was wrong for rebuking me. He just took it. He just took it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He didn't say, Peter, my shadow healed people. No, because miracles do not validate your doctrine. Doctrine validates doctrine. Truth validates doctrine. Word of God validates doctrine. Glory be to God. A million shadow healings did not validate Peter's dissimulation. 10 million. Hallelujah. This is just good stuff. Glory be to God. As Gary said, I'm about to have a running fit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because only this, holding up the word, only this, truth, word of God, power of the Holy Spirit working in you. On and on and on. Oh, speaking the mysteries, praying the mysteries, allowing your nose to stay in this as often as possible. Mamas, You've got a great call. Some of you are working mamas. Daddies, please, please go with me on this, and all of elders, anybody you see really doing it. I'm in a strait. I'm in an infirmity. I'm not talking about an infirmity any other way except my soul is in a press. And I'm happy, but I've got to receive this thing. There's more for us. Go into God. Don't condemn yourself for where you're not. Don't condemn yourself. You're His prize. He loves all of you. Don't be condemned. But at the same time, give yourself over to praying in tongues. Throw some fasting in there one or two days a week. Hallelujah. You want a war? You want to declare war on the flesh, a deliberate war? I mean a deliberate war. Just deliberate war. If you want to find out, just start a fast. It's a deliberate war. I heard Alan Taylor, he did such a good job this week. He said, the flesh, it's a liar. It's a liar. It doesn't matter how you try to concede to it, it'll lie to you. He said, if you just made, let's say, for instance, a compact with the flesh, or you said, okay, buddy, we're going to fast, but I'll negotiate with you. I'll negotiate. For the next 10 days, you get anything you want. If you'll leave me alone when I start my fast. You just won't, oh yeah, oh yeah. Okay, I'm going to feed you all the pizza, candy, anything. Yeah, I mean, you want to get up in the middle of the night. What was Homer's? Little Debbie's. You can have all the Little Debbie's you want. Yes. Okay, I'm going to trust you, flesh. I'm going to give you the next 10 days whatever your heart's desire. Okay, I'll be a good boy or good girl when you start your fast. Ninth day, 2 hours away from bedtime or before. And I don't know why the flesh does this. I do know why. I'm going to start my fast tomorrow. So you're like a chipmunk. Like, I'm just going to have one last dying meal. I don't know why I know that. Don't ask me. And you feel so justified in it. I feel good about this. Chocolate syrup all over this ice cream. I know I'm not going to be able to sleep real good, but this is my last meal before execution. So I'm justifying it. It's wonderful. I won't feel guilty about this. Oh, it's so good. It's good. Okay. Now I'm fixing to go spiritual. You wake up. Start the day. All right. Flesh, you're not going to say anything. I'm on a 10-day me and Jesus. And it won't be 10 o'clock before. That's a growl from the stomach, and it's a growl from the flesh. Feed me. Flesh, you said if I'd give you all you wanted, you'd be a good boy or a good girl. I lied. Feed me. There's no negotiation with it. You don't have to go on a 10. You don't have to go on a 3. But if you want to grow, and this is why I said any church that is wherever you go, hopefully you go here, if it doesn't include the dying mortification, along with all the promises, we've got to have promises, right? And we've got a decree. We've got a decree. Look up into the heavens when you go out today, because there's a great citadel of glory over this city, but there's also an incredible amount of demonic warfare. I'll never get to the scriptures I had because he just prophesied the mind of Christ. But we are in a war, and you know that. The first war is for you and I to change and go to a place where we've never been. But there's an incredible war over our nation and over the planet. Can we help? Can God come back to this nation in a very powerful way and save it in incredible revival? Yes. Our present president is, I'm sad to say, and I pray for him often, and I do not hate him. I hate the platform. Evil man. And his administration is evil. It's, I'm not cursing, but hell-bent on destruction of the nuclear family, America. And anybody that votes for him is part of his evil. You're just part of it. You've consolidated, you've conceded. But there's a great, it's mystical, it's powerful, it's a darkness, but there is also a light in the midst of the darkness. And that light is Jesus, and he wants to bring a revival through you, and through me. Hallelujah. Now, don't be scared tomorrow. By the way, I was thinking about when I said that about the atmosphere. Tomorrow's eclipse. We won't get much of it. I think we get about 50%. If you were over in Texas, you would. You've got 15 states from Texas to Maine, you'd get most of it. It'd go totally dark in some of those states. We'll get about 50%. Don't look up at it and stare at it. But it will if you're walking around 3 o'clock, I believe, something like that, and the atmosphere turns a little bit. Jesus is not coming. Hallelujah. It's all right. We're just having a solar eclipse. The next one will be 2044. But you're around for this one. Hallelujah. I'll be around for the next one if Jesus doesn't come back. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're born again? And filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus. Right now, Father, we worship you and glorify you. If there's anyone seated here or out there watching and you're not, you don't pray in tongues, let's all stand together. Robert, please. We're doing good. We've got even 10 minutes before noon. Our nursery workers won't kill us. Hallelujah. We thank God for what they do. Worship the Lord with us for just a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are so worthy to receive praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. The greatest impartation after salvation is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Two things you need to have to grow. One, the Word of God, the baptism of the Spirit, which interprets to praying in other tongues. If there's anyone here this morning that you do not pray in tongues, or it's difficult, you say, I think I have prayed in tongues, but I'm not really sure, or I've only got a couple of words and I'd really like to be baptized where I flow, then this is your morning, this is your opportunity. So right now, I'm going to ask that if there's anyone here that you don't pray in tongues and you would like to, it won't take 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and you'll just be praying in tongues. And for the rest of your life, You'll have something that you never had. Now, if you're born again, you're going to heaven. Wonderful. But would you like something even more? An icing on the cake, a baptism of the Spirit. If you don't pray in tongues and you would like to receive that gift, I'll lay hands on you and I promise you that that gift will come upon you and baptize you. If you do not pray in tongues, then just come up here and stand for just a couple of moments. And anybody that does not, is there anybody that does not pray in tongues and you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? This is going to be an offering that we give to the crowd in the days ahead, and we're going to see such incredible rushing to the front. Hallelujah. Anybody that wants prayer? All right. Praise God. Here she comes again. Praise God. Glory be to God. Homer, Rosie, would you please come up here and stand behind her? The rest of you, is there anybody else that does not pray in tongues? You want to... Come on, big man. Hallelujah. Stand right over here. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you for coming. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him a great big hand. It's wonderful. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And your son, he doesn't. Okay. Let's have him stand right down here. There's three. Just come around here. That's three. Is there any more? You don't pray in tongues. I'm going to tell you in just the next 5 minutes, these are all going to be filled with the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon them, and they're going to be so glad. Is there anybody else that needs to be filled this morning? Listen to me. You guys can just stand there and just listen for a moment. Just listen. When I lay my hands upon you, Sandy, you're here for, you need more. You want to flow more. Would you stand right over here, right in between? There's room for you right there. That way, wonderful. That's great. Anybody that needs to, you only got a couple words or you're not really flowing. Okay, that's why Sandy came. Anybody else? She needs more. That's great. That's what this calls for. Everybody listen to me. Everybody give me just a couple of minutes, and we're going to watch the power of the word, the power of God manifested. Jesus said, I send to you another comforter. Another was one just like me. So you're not receiving something else. You're just receiving more of Jesus. And so when I lay my hands on you, the power of the Holy Spirit is not going to come from someplace else. He's going to come up from the inside of you. And I tell people this, the Holy Ghost does not pray in tongues. You pray in tongues. In other words, he's not going to make you say something. If you continue to stand there in English or Spanish or whatever and just say, Jesus, I love you, he's not going to interrupt that. Got one more. Wonderful. He's not going to interrupt that, but you have to kind of make the faith-filled initiative to say, I don't know what is going about to come out of my mouth, but I'm going to let Holy Ghost speak. It may sound gibberish. It may sound you don't know what it is. But let it begin to come. You may only get a couple of syllables. I'm going to ask some of our elders to come up here and stand and create an atmosphere. I'm about to pray. Please come in close enough. Miss Barbara, if you can come around. Different ones. I want people up here and you ladies. The Holy Ghost is already over her. Yeah, he's already on you. There's no need for me to speak anymore. Be filled. Sorakaresata. He's healing some things already. Yes. Okay. God is He's gonna heal that. He's gonna do that. Rosie, come around here. Hallelujah. There's a healing in the emotional realm that is gonna take place even before this baptism. So let's just continue to Let's continue to pray. Now, when I lay hands on you, let the power of the Holy Spirit, just close your eyes. All of us, let's say this together. Come in a little closer, buddy. Let's say this together. Lord Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Baptize me, Lord Jesus, in your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, receive. That's it. There you go. There you go. Just start speaking, son. That's right. That's the Holy Ghost. Receive now. Receive now. Receive now. Receive now. Receive now. Hallelujah, son. Just start opening your mouth and speak out. Receive the Holy Ghost. That's it. Just start moving your lips. Come on him, Holy Ghost. Come on him, Holy Ghost. Come on him, Holy Ghost. Baptize him now. The Lord's doing a work in you. Alex, come around here and pray for him. Encourage him to speak out. Release that now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, son, receive this power. Receive this glory. Look up at me just a minute. The Lord's on you, okay? And you don't have to force this. I don't want to force you, but I want you to be able to know that Jesus loves you and that you just relax. And if you don't even speak anything now, he'll come on you later. But this is cool. You're doing a good job just to be obedient to this. Is this what you want? Perfect. I release the power of God to you. Receive the Holy Ghost now in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Receive. Hallelujah. You work with him because this is the Holy Ghost is coming on him, and I expect more and more in the days ahead. When you pray in tongues, encourage him to pray in tongues with you in the car, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. How's she doing? Just healing. Yeah, she needs some healing. Yeah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, the Holy Spirit's doing a work. He's doing a work. Let's worship God together. We worship you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Worship you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. For those of you that are watching and those that are in here, go to our website, and there's one of those discipleship lessons on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to activate, how to begin to pray in tongues. And I can't teach you, I can't give you words, only the Holy Spirit can give you the words. But it'll encourage you, it'll give you scripture foundation for you to be able to do that. We love all of you. We're going to continue to pray for just a moment with these, but you can be blessed and consider yourself dismissed. God bless you all. Amen. Hallelujah.